I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello! Welcome back to the Mother-Daughter Manual.
I'm Fliss.
And I am Liv.
You are.
I am.
You are. And it is a big, big day tomorrow.
It's a it's a big day.
Yeah, it's a big day.
Yeah, it's the eve of my birthday.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. I'm going to be 25.
A 1990s baby.
No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying to be younger.
Yeah, I suddenly seen what you were doing.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, Liz, I wasn't listening to you.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be 30.
Yeah.
30 is the age I'm going to be.
Mm.
I need to accept it, and I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
And
drink
a lot. But 30's not bad, is it?
No, it's a great age.
Yeah.
It's an absolute great age.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Tell me, 60's great age.
60's a great age. I think 6 is a lovely number.
Do you?
Followed by 0, which is also a very lovely number.
Yeah.
So it's Fliss's favourite time. It's quote time. I think you chose this one, didn't you?
Why don't you read it? You always do anyway.
No, you go for it.
No, I don't want to read it. I haven't got the right glasses on. They're
why
downstairs.
Didn't you, why
I
didn't
really
you
can't be bothered to go down and up again.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's to strong women. May we know them. May we be them. And may we raise them. What?
I just can't be fucked, Lou.
What? Do you mean you can't
I just
be
can't
fucked?
Be. I can't. I can't be.
Why do you hate this bit so much?
I just hate it.
Yeah. Well, you come up with a structure.
Well, I know.
I think
know,
it's quite.
I know.
You
I
just
know.
Literally can't be fucked.
No, not over that quote. It's like let Lucy deal with it because I really can't be bothered with it.
Okay, I'll just ring Lucy and say Fliss says, "Hey, Lucy, I really want you to deal with this because I can't be bothered."
You don't need to bring up my name. Why do you have to mention
because
me?
Because you're the one that can't be bothered.
All right, I'll talk about the quote. I'll just say,
"Well, you're no." The thing is,
it's a crap quote.
The thing is, when you're a host of something, you need to be like bloody positive, and you need to give it some welly, and be
Libby,
like, "This is my
positive.
Show, and I'm absolutely gonna smash it."
Yeah, but I am like that. But I just—it's
no,
just like this
to,
week.
Like,
I cannot.
We've
be
got
bothered
to like talk. 6, and you're just like grumpy. I mean, you're really showing your age.
Well, that's really.
Oh,
really
I loved saying
yeah,
that
I
so much.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, you know, you just need to be a little bit more fruity like
okay,
me.
Yeah.
More like, hey, we love this podcast.
Okay. Well, I do love the podcast.
No, I know you do, so do I.
I just think the quote's a burden, that's all.
Well, you need to get over that, like step over it and be like,
well,
I'm, you know, this burden is behind me.
I didn't think of quotes when I was bringing you up. I just did what came naturally. I just got on with it.
I know, but also some of the quotes are a bit of a joke, you know?
Yeah,
okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah,
let's move on.
Let's
definitely move on. We really struggled with an activity this week,
because,
didn't
I mean, this
we?
Week has been so busy. It's like the heat. It's like, oh my God, I've got to water the tomato plants. I had to dye my hair. I had to wax. And it's like your birthday's tomorrow, which is an incredible burden, all the arrangement for
God,
it.
You lead a really, really stressful life.
Oh, that's sarcastic, isn't it? That's really sarcastic.
I mean,
sarcastic.
Who goes on about their tomato? The tomato plants grow themselves.
No, they don't. They need water.
Yeah,
that's
their all they need. That's all they need.
Yes, but you need to keep your eye on them. I have to
no,
watch
you're
them
not
like my babies.
Right. You are not sat there looking
at
the tomato plant.
I am. I look at them
at
a lot. I watch my tomato plant
and just
plant
literally
and my
watching
plants.
It move.
Well,
like
I do actually. I actually talk to them.
Well, then you're very sad.
Yeah, well, okay.
You're a
thank
very
you for
sad
that.
Individual.
I am, audience listeners, very sad. Take that on board that I am very sad. Quote my beloved daughter
it
who loves
shows
me so much.
That you don't do much if that's all you're doing
I do
staring
notes.
At some tomato plants.
Oh, I tell you what, when they sprouted fruit, when they actually got the tomatoes on there, I felt like Alan Titchmarsh. I really did. I felt great.
Adriana
Who's Adriana?
That's you. And you I'm trying to go Alan Titmarsh, Adriana Two Titties.
Adriana Titty.
Or Alan, yeah. Alana Titty. Alana Two Titties.
Tit Tats.
No.
Or whatever.
Alana Two Titties. That's okay. Your new gardening right. name.
Well, anyway, the reason why we're not on the activities is
we have got an activity.
Have we?
Yeah. It is. It's wine tasting.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
We've got, well, I mean, when we say wine tasting, it's quite a big one. When we say wine tasting,
Is there any ice, please?
I did actually bring some ice.
Oh, well done, Liv. You are a star. Marvellous. Okay.
We didn't have loads of wine. So, and also it's too expensive to do, like, loads of wines.
Two. Yeah.
Get the ice in, love. Get the you just splashed the microphone.
I know I did.
I didn't mean to do it. Okay, Wolf, get me ice in. Get me ice in my glass. Anyway, so yeah, we're doing wine tasting. And because we couldn't buy loads of wines, because that would just be silly, wouldn't it?
We haven't got it on the budget, have we, for the programme?
No. We have one wine, and actually, well, the problem is it's from a box. Because
there's nothing wrong with a box.
No. We bought a 10-litre box of rosé.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Because we're trying to entertain people tomorrow.
But how are we meant to talk about it? So we then decant it into our own little nice bottle that we got from someone.
What we've done is remember the name of the bottle, but I can't be bothered.
No, I know. Yeah. I think it's a rosé, because it's hot weather.
Yeah.
And the rosé is delicious.
It is pretty good, isn't it? It is pretty good,
and
yeah.
And it sounds nice with the ice inside. And you can drink it.
But why would it? That would be. But what on earth? What does that mean? It sounds nice with the ice inside.
Well, look, it's all
That's
about
a wine
all
taster,
the senses,
is it?
Isn't it?
I thought you were this posh wine taster.
No, I did work in a wine shop.
It was a high end market.
I learned loads, but I can't talk about this because I don't know where it's from, and we've got ten litres of the stuff.
Why don't you just say the taste of it? What does it remind you of? What's it redolent of? You know,
it's a bit strawberry-ish, and it just tastes like I could drink another couple of bottles. It's nice.
I don't taste the strawberries.
It is strawberry-ish.
I don't taste the strawberries. I taste
rosé. What you're meant to do. You're meant to go like this. And suck all the air through. And then you taste... The alcohol gets removed and you can just taste the notes.
So what do you do then? Show me what to do.
So you've got to like swill it around your mouth
this. Disgusting. Okay.
And you suck air through it.
All right, well, that was quite successful. I'm just left with, I still don't taste strawberries.
Sorry, strawberries. What do you taste? Strawberries.
I still don't taste them.
Snozcumbers. Okay, well, it is slightly strawberry-ish.
Okay.
Well, we also got some opinions from other people, didn't we?
Yeah, we did,
Yeah. We bumped into an Australian mother and daughter who strangely are here, actually.
They are indeed.
And they really wanted to try the wine with us.
Yeah.
So they're going to just give you their opinion, I think.
Yeah.
So should we introduce Adelaide and...
And Maddie.
And Maddie. I thought it was Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Adelaide and Dorothy. G'day.
Hello.
Hello. We're very happy to be on this podcast.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Felicity and Olivia have invited us on,
God,
which is great.
God, they're so amazing.
They are amazing.
I genuinely think they're such cool people.
They're really nice people.
Yeah, and we love wine.
Yeah, and they're very funny.
And they're so funny.
They're so funny.
God, everyone should give them a job.
Yeah, they should. Absolutely.
Do you know
what?
If they were in Australia, they'd get all the jobs.
Right, we've got to do our job now.
Yeah, right.
So
okay.
It's from a box, right?
The wine's from a box, right. As they very kindly squished some out of the bag.
Okay, so you taste it.
Okay.
Lovely.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely delicious.
Right, okay.
What about you, Dorothy? Do you like
that? Well, I can't really taste very much.
Why is that?
I think it's pink.
It is pink. You've got a very good eye.
And it comes from a box, which is hard.
Yeah, boxes can be tricky.
But
there's a lot to come out of a box.
So you taste it and tell me what you think tastes like.
Okay, yeah, it's... Oh, it tastes like heaven.
Heaven.
Like the sands of Bondi.
Okay, I'm
going to
taste
like,
it now.
You taste it, yep.
tastes like strawberries.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it tastes like strawberries.
God, that's so interesting, because Felicity didn't think it tasted like strawberries.
No, she didn't, did she?
No, she thought she couldn't taste a thing. She's got the taste buds of a rock. Yeah. I think that's our... We've got to fly back now.
Yeah, we've got to fly
back. Yeah, long way for a little sip of wine,
indeed,
I tell you that.
Indeed.
Yeah, I hope that everyone can taste the wine sort of, you know, through the sound
through
system.
Through the microphone.
Through
the waves of the microphone.
Oh, waves from Australia, waves from microphones.
Yeah.
There's just waves everywhere
these days.
Oh, God, they're so
sweet, aren't they? What nice people.
Why are they so nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so we do also
I didn't
have,
think they were very good at wine tasting, though.
No, they weren't. Yeah, it wasn't their strong suit.
Enough.
But she did pick up the strawberries.
Yeah, she did.
Very interesting.
Which was very interesting.
Yeah, I really thought that was good.
That was impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we had another mother and daughter, didn't we, who also offered, much more local actually.
Yeah, much
they
more
offered,
local,
yeah. Yeah, they offered their services.
They live over the road, don't they?
They do live over the road.
Yeah. And she's smashing.
Oh, absolutely smashing.
I'm going to introduce Donna and Dana.
They live
over the road. Yeah, they're very sweet. Just make sure, Libby, that they don't try and lift the wine.
The whole box.
The whole box.
The whole 10-litre box.
They've been known to do it, okay?
Have they?
Yeah, okay.
Don't go,
Donna.
Don't.
And Dana. Yeah, well, you know, I am, you know, Felicity's a bit of a snob
when
it comes to wine. But
yeah.
I think this is all right. But I prefer to mix rosé and wine, white wine together.
You mix the two together?
Yeah.
Rosé and white wine?
Yeah, well, she does. Felicity does.
Felicity does
it. Yeah, she pretends she's such, you know, like,
she's so posh like.
Because when I said I like white rosé with white, she goes, oh, that's a bit, you know, like
bit
off
gross.
And stuff. That's a bit gross. And actually, I said, well, I've seen you doing it.
That is so rude.
She disappeared.
She disappeared?
Yeah, she walked out. And,
where'd she go?
Well, I don't know. She went to water her plants.
She's probably mixing rosé and white wine.
No. She went to water her plants and started to talk to them.
Sat by some tomatoes or something like
that. Yeah, right.
Ow, I've hit my tooth.
Yeah, well, you need probably braces.
Why do I need braces?
Yeah, you probably need the sticking out.
No, they're
with
not.
Well, if the glass hit it, then, you know.
No, that's quite rude, actually.
No,
that's
it's
really
not rude.
Rude.
Anyway, I thought...
What did you think?
I thought we could maybe lift that box,
you
know, because I thought...
That's a very good idea.
You know, they don't need it.
Do you know what? They have these hats in Primark, and it says rosé all day. And if we had a box of 10 litre, it would be rosé all day, because it would just go on all day.
Oh, right, that's funny.
Right, yeah, it is funny.
Yeah, that's very funny, very
funny.
Do you
know what? I've had enough of you.
No, don't start around now.
No, I'm starting around.
We're talking about the rosé.
I'm going to take that 10-litre bottle of wine by myself, box of wine by myself.
No, you're
actually,
not.
Because you just like having a go at me. You're humiliating me on the podcast.
No one's humiliating you.
You're humiliating me, and I'm going to go.
This was
such a bad idea, this was.
All right.
I didn't want to be around you anyway.
All right.
Mum, I've had enough. Bloody hell, they are absolutely
off the rocket chart, aren't they? Really?
Well, I mean,
well, we shouldn't have asked them. Why did you ask them, Libby?
I didn't ask them.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
No,
yes, you did.
You did.
Oh, Libby, you did. I didn't do it.
No, I think they're a bit of a handful. I mean, look, they've drained half the bottle.
Yeah, I know they have. Yeah. Well, if the box goes, then it's all down to you. Touché.
And by the way, we just wanted to say that was all us.
We're sure you didn't guess.
Yeah, there wasn't actually any guess.
We're sure we're that versatile that we would do something as cleverly as that. It was pretty subtle, Lulu, wasn't it?
It was pretty
bloody clever.
Just to say we didn't pay for people to come over from Australia or anything like that.
No. Well, do you really think they're that stupid that they think we would?
No, I didn't actually. No, that was
quite rude. Why did you say that then?
I don't know. Right, we should go. We've got more rosé to drink.
Let's get off. It's not going well.
It is going well.
Is it?
Yeah.
You think so?
This is quite fun.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, don't need to flag. It's the rosy.
I'm hanging around. Waiting.
I know. Okay, so this week we have Lucy Pinder.
Lucy Pinder.
Love, who is a model and actress, and
very
she's
witty,
very witty, incredibly bright, and
very humble, actually.
Yeah, she is.
She's very humble.
And we're really excited to talk to her because it's a fascinating subject with all the stuff she's done. And also just to say quickly before We are during lockdown and stuff, so the audio is a bit off because we had a bit of a problem. So please bear with, because it's a really brilliant
Interview.
Yeah,
that was a struggle.
Okay. Anyway, Lucy Pinder.
Lucy Pinder.
Hello, Lucy Pinder.
Hello, my love.
How are you?
I'm good.
Hello,
how
Lucy.
Are you two girls?
We're good, thank you.
The girls have went very well.
Yeah, well, we've already knocked over two bottles of water.
Yeah, you blame me.
And I blamed you.
Because you turned the lights out. I didn't know what direction I was going in, Lucy. So how was I supposed to know? But there you are. I didn't even know the glass was there.
You're like a pair of slapstick comedians.
I know, except we don't find it that funny. No one else laughs. So it's just like all the work you have to clear up and then never...
We don't laugh.
We don't laugh. We just go, for God's sake. So we need to do the quote. We need to tell Lucy the quote.
Yes, okay.
So Fliss actually found a quote this time.
Amazing.
Shall I read it or do you want to read it?
No, I'm reading it.
Okay, well, yes, fine.
All right, thank you. Right, Lucy, here we go. Here's to strong women. Maybe we know them. Maybe we be them. Maybe we raise them. Unknown.
But isn't that...
Amen, sister.
Them?
Oh, hang on. Sorry, I read it wrong. Sorry. Yeah. All right, here we go again. Here's to strong women. May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them.
Yes.
Unknown.
Oh, lovely. Lucy, what do you think about the quote?
It's one of my favourites. I think I've Instagrammed that a couple of times.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That would be a good one to quote on International Women's Day.
Yeah.
For the ladies.
So what does it mean to you, Lucy?
Well, so I think, because like I've talked, so my sisters, I have no children, and my sisters, I've got two nieces, and I grew up with just one sister. And I think we're kind of relatively strong women.
Yeah.
It's hard to define, isn't it, kind of what's masculine, what's feminine. And I grew up, I was quite a tomboy, so I was kind of, you know, I kind of followed my dad around, and I wanted to do whatever. I wanted to go fishing with my dad, and I played football when I was younger. Like, I was really quite a tomboy, and I think, I don't know if that was ever instilled in me or if that was just a nature thing and not a nurture thing. You know, we've all been indoctrinated to kind of conform to, you know, girls like pink and want to play with Barbies, and boys want guns and blue and football. And I think, you know, I don't think my mum and dad ever sort of made a conscious decision with me or my sister, but I think we both have quite masculine traits in some ways. But I think it's just really important that you bring girls up to be, I mean, boys as well, but that thing of women kind of being strong and self-assured and knowing that there are no constraints on what they want to do just because they're girls.
But I remember when I went into the careers office when I was about 17, and they said, "What do you want to do, Felicity?" And I went, "Don't know." And it's like, "Well, I'm not sure." And they went, "Well, you can be a nurse, you can be, you know, you can go to hotel management, or you won't be able to do sciences," because I looked at my results. And so you were sort of like, it was like unbelievable all those years ago. It was like there were no choices, it seemed. Even my generation, there were very few choices for women.
We had this as well. And I think by the time we kind of had careers advisors. I feel like it was just, I think whatever government that was in at the time just said, right, where are we lacking? Where do we need? Because we all got told either to be prison officers. What was it? Like prison officer, teacher. There were literally three. We all came out going, well, we've all been told the same thing. And I have such a bugbear with that, that kids nowadays, yeah. Like we always say, I always say to my niece who will be going to university next year, me and my sister are like, there are so many jobs, like try and do what you love because you will find a job in that. And even if you don't, it doesn't matter. Like don't get caught in a trap of going, well, no, you should go and do this because your job prospects will be better. Because there are so many vocations out there that, yeah, when you're 17 and they're going, right, what, you know, you have to decide now what you want to do for the rest of your life. As if anyone knows at 17.
Oh, I know. Absolutely no idea. I don't know if anyone else has seen this. There was this great test that they did on a classroom of kids. And they asked all the kids, little boys and little girls, I think they're about like 5 or 6, they asked all of them to draw a doctor, a police officer, a pilot, and a firefighter. So all the kids drew these quite like, you know, cartoony men, all of them being men. And then they got all of those careers in, the people, and they were all women.
Wow.
And the kids were so shocked. Amazing. So it's like female doctor, female firefighter, female pilot. And then they were like, these jobs aren't just for men. But actually, when I was thinking about it, I actually was thinking the same. I was like, oh yeah, that's cute. That's probably what I would have drawn. Mm. And then when they did the test at the end, the women came in. I was like, bloody hell, I didn't even think like that.
That's
amazing.
Your mum
have, did your mum have expectations of what she felt you would go and do? I mean, because all parents do, don't they?
I didn't really know. I just had no kind of idea. I knew I wanted to go to uni. I thought, well, I've always been all right at English. I'm interested in English and I love film. So that's what I was enrolled to do, but never got there.
Because you started modelling quite early, didn't you?
Yeah, I started in I took a year from sixth form to work because, you know, we're a bit stupid at that age and we think, oh, I just want to have a job and be a grown up and get on that hamster wheel. And then
just a bit of pocket money.
Yeah. Which is great when you're like 18 and you're like, oh my God, I have my own money. This is amazing. But after a year of working, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go back to school. I got like scouted on Bournemouth Beach about a month before going to uni and kind of thought, oh, if I do this for a year, if I defer another year, then I can basically kind of pay my way through uni, not have to come out with any student debt. And then I kind
of... It's very sussed, actually.
Yeah. And then I got stuck in it for 10 years.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And I bet you that 10 years flew by.
They did, but I also think at the beginning of that 10 years, look, I was 19 when I started modelling and I was kind of... I was very aware. It flew by in a weird way that when I was approaching 30, I thought, oh my God, I'm nearly 30. I was meant to do this job to pay my way through uni. And now I'm about to turn 30. It was it really kind of crept up and kind of slapped me in the face. And that's when I kind of knocked modelling on the head.
What was your mum's attitude towards the modelling?
She was quite... I don't know what the right word, so it all happened, you know, I didn't want to be a model. I'd never even considered kind of modelling. And then this happened. And I remember going home and going, oh, like a man took a picture of me in a bikini on the beach and said, like, he was sending it to the national newspapers. And my mum and dad are quite, you wouldn't kind of know it to look at them, but I think there's a bit of a... I think when we were younger, there was probably a bit of a role reversal in that my dad was just, like, fun. My dad didn't do the kind of serious talks with me and my sister. Like, that kind of fell on my mum. So I think my mum definitely kind of was the one that disciplined us when we were younger. Mm. So when I came home and said that, my dad kind of just said, oh, I hope you didn't. And I was like, oh, I did. And my mum was... quite encouraging of it, which kind of, you know, I have my
own... She was encouraging.
Yeah, she was, which I have, like, I mean, you know, I have my own kind of issue with that now that I'm older. But she, I think her attitude was, this is an opportunity that you might regret not taking. Because when I first did it, I mean, honest to God, seeing yourself in scantily clad, oh, it was so horrible. I remember meeting my sister after work and I was like, oh, isn't it horrible? And she was like, yeah, this is really weird. And I think on the when that first happened, I thought, oh, I don't want to do this. And then, if I'm honest, it was the lure of the money. They kind of said, look, we're going to, you know, we'd like to put you on a retainer. And I think for 6 months initially, and it was kind of more money than I'd ever.
Yeah, of course.
Ever known. And I kind of thought, well, you know, it's some lingerie shoots and some beach shoots and, you know, that's gonna really help me in the future. I mean, so naive. Yeah. And I think my mum just thought
it's so funny though how money can really drive that stuff.
It's terrifying, Liv. It's really kind of. I look back and I can't. You know, I like where I am today, and I kind of like who I am today. But I do. When people say, "Oh, would you do it again?" I'm like, absolutely not. Not a chance.
Yeah. When you're 19, though, Lucy, I mean, if I'd had I would never, because if you look at my figure, but I mean, you know, if I'd had that choice, I probably would have gone for it. That kind of money. I mean, it's very encouraging. I wanted to read you a quote by Jodie Marsh, I'm sure you even know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she has this quote, you probably even read it yourself, which I just think it's really interesting to discuss it, actually, if you just bear with me. So sure. Jodie Marsh says, so-called feminists really annoy me. Telling girls they shouldn't do page three is not being a feminist. Women should do whatever they want. I am very much a feminist. I believe women can do it all and have it all. And commenting on page three, she says, it was good money. I felt powerful. I was definitely in control. I never felt exploited. In fact, the opposite. In fact, she says, she goes on to suggest that, you know, feminists perhaps should focus their attentions more simply more on, you know, how women are affected, for example, female mutilation. So she turns it back on the feminist head in a way, and I think that's a really interesting argument, don't you?
Oh, it is. Because obviously when I was modelling and I kind of, I got asked to do like quite, because this is a thing, the whole time I was modelling, you know, that whole page three debate, I think had gone on for years, and it's such a complex, that whole, you know, I've talked at length about it with friends and family. And I think at the time I remember being very kind of, at the time I took the view of, you know, I always used to say, oh, you know, you don't go up to the cashier in Tesco's and say, do you feel empowered by your job? And to me, it was kind of, I just went and I did my job. And I was quite lucky that I think the way that I got into it, I think people have an idea that it's probably a very sleazy job and that you're constantly, you know, having to work with sleazy photographers. And I didn't have any of that, really. Most of the photographers were women. All of the magazine shoots and everything was very professional. We all got on.
That's basically what Jodie Marsh says. Yeah, that's right.
And I think when you're the environment of doing page three and doing the lads mags was fun. And, you know, it was great money for not a lot of work. But I think as I've got older, I think I was very insular in looking at the fact that, you know, I had a mortgage to pay. I was in a long-term relationship and he didn't have, you know, he was quite encouraging of it. And I was in my own kind of little bubble. And I think now that I'm a bit older, I see the bigger picture a bit more. And I think I always did, because I kind of get, I don't know where I sit on that argument. Whereas, yes, I would consider myself a feminist. I understand that people go, because this is what's so weird. When we were doing it, you have the people attacking you saying, you know, you are adding to an atmosphere of objectifying women. And I totally, and the fact that, I mean, it's mad now to think that we had a topless girl on the third page of a paper. It's just, it's not appropriate.
Yeah, it is crazy.
No, it's not appropriate. But if you think about it, men have always objectified women. I mean, Cleopatra was objectified. You look at history, Helen of Troy was objectified. So in a sense, women will always be objectified. It's just how society deals with it.
Exactly.
And how tastefully they deal with it, I think.
Yeah, and I think it was really interesting to get attacked from kind of both sides. And then there were the women
all
that
angles.
Were saying, oh, but, you know, you're the ultimate feminist because you're taking sexuality and you're making a career out of it. And I never felt that passionately about that side of it, because I thought, well, yeah, I don't know. I think I still kind of struggle with that. And I go, I don't think it was empowering. It was just a job that we did. I don't think I thought about it that widely. And now I'm a bit older, I look at certain elements of it and I think I'm kind of glad that that's been left in the past a bit. And we used to always defend, you know, we used to defend the modelling and say, well, women's magazines are worse, and you look at women's magazines and they're constantly, you know, obsessing over women's appearance. And but you look at it as a whole and you go, well, maybe we're all part of this.
But I've noticed that all these girls, like Melinda Messenger, Jodie Marsh, yourself, they're all pretty sussed businesswomen. And you've all made pretty good careers. You know, I'm sure a lot of ardent feminists would like to say that, you know, these girls are sort of not very bright, but actually they're all pretty, pretty bright women.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the girls, I think the kind of image of the... I think the Page Three girl, the image of a Page Three girl, I think kind of evolved through time. And I think back in the day, it was seen as kind of, you know, harmless titillation. Then it was seen as a little bit, you know, oh, they're a bit thick. And then I think during the kind of 90s and 2000s, it was a little bit more offensive. And then I think our kind of generation were just a lot of really normal girls, you know, that were... A lot of the girls were doing what I was doing, which they had an idea that, OK, I might go to uni or I'll do this for a few years and then move on to something else. But I think it's the thing that we didn't... What's really interesting about when you're in it, not that... Because every kind of few months you think, oh, they'll probably find someone else and, you know, my contract will be cancelled. So there was that kind of imminent idea that I might not be doing this in 6 months. But then... We got into a false sense of security of, oh, this is going to go on for quite a while. And I think, you know, I was a very different person when I was in my early 20s. And I just thought, oh, well, I'll make some money and then I'll have kids with my, you know, partner at the time. And that'll be that. And now that I'm older and I've kind of explored quite a few career paths, and there are just some things that is... with a pass as a Page Three girl that we just can never do. And I don't
like
think...
Like
we couldn't go into teaching or, you know, there are just a few things. I've had commercial castings where I've got the job and then they've Googled and seen that I did Page Three and said, oh, we can't use
no
it.
No way,
yeah,
that's
you see so much prejudice around,
I have to say, Liz, I did a Google as well. I was looking at some of those pictures. Bloody hell, you're a babe.
Do
you know what? Like, talking about, looking back on it, being like, oh, you know, not it's not great. But if I had a bank of pictures like that of me...
But don't you think, like, knowing me, Liv, like, me and Beth were talking about this, and don't... Because you know me, like, it doesn't even... It's not even like it's me.
It is, though. You're so beautiful. And, like, but those pictures are just... They're so banging.
You are
like,
very beautiful.
They're, like, amazingly hot. Like, it's just, you smashed it.
And
absolutely smashed it. I mean, I got some really big boobs. Yeah, I inherited them from Felicity. Yeah, and I haven't... I've yet to monetize them. So I'm sort of looking at...
This is our new business venture, is monetizing Liv's boobs.
God, my tacky daughter.
Monetizing my, like, my sore boobs every month.
But I wanted just ask you about the movie you did, The Warrior Savitra, and where you actually went off to learn Hindu, which I think is incredibly sort of savvy, bright thing to do.
Do you know,
I didn't.
Oh. I was American in it.
But apparently you did try and learn. Didn't you try and go off and do some Hindu learning?
I would love to lie and say that I'm a multi-skilled linguist. But no, I was an American. I had to be American in that. But we shot it in Mumbai. It was absolutely mad. It was such an amazing.
And tell me, what was the experience? What was it like? What are the things that were redolent to you? And, you know, you have
lovely
vivid
word.
Memories. It is
redolent.
A wonderful word. I'm good on words.
Yes, that's
and
good.
That you have wonderful, rich memories, Lucy.
Yeah, it was such a... my friend, one of my good friends, Lisa, who's a makeup artist, I kind of said, oh, I'd like her to kind of, you know, be with me and do my makeup. So we just... it was mad. It was... The way, I mean, a lot of the crew that we worked with said, oh, most Bollywood films aren't like this, but it was we really like hit the ground running and it was just mad.
What does that mean,
Lucy? Like 17 hour days, health and safety was not a thing.
Luckily, with your fabulous Hindi, you'd be able to. You could absolutely communicate with everyone. And tell them.
So have I told you the story of when? So there was one scene where I think so. I had to kind of walk down a runway, and they had they had like flames at one point. They were like, oh, we're going to shoot flames out of the end of the runway. And I thought, oh, I don't know about this. And then there was a guy with a fan. And I just had like an outer body experience where I was stood on this stage thinking, if anyone gets the time wrong for this, like I could see myself like the English patient back at home.
Oh, oh God, Lucy. But Lucy, do you have any rights then if you're out there filming? Or is it just you're just in the hands of different agents, different managers out there?
Well, my manager came out with me, but we were kind of, it got to a point where I just said, do you know what, I'm not comfortable with the flames. So I just was like, no, I said
sorry, you know that really hot fire, I mean, it's something that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
It's a meter away from
you. Yeah.
It's like, you know, I've got lots of hairspray and very synthetic clothing on. I really don't fancy the flame throwers.
Yeah, they're like, you know that phrase, a moth to the flame, I'd prefer not to be the moth.
So I felt really bad. I kind of called I remember calling Lisa over and going, Lisa, I'm having a bit of a panic attack. I was like, I'm fine with the pyrotechnics because they can't set me alight, and I'm fine with the wind machine, but and love her. She said, if you're not comfortable, just, and the director Param, I said, oh, could you go and get him to come over? And I felt really awful, and I said, Param, I really don't want the fire. I really don't want to go up in flames.
God's sake. I mean, you know, that's mad.
I've got a final question, I feel like. And what would you, like, so if you, you know, if you have kids in the future, and what are you going to, will you talk to them about your modelling, and will you say, like, oh, this is what I used to do, or...
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of...
Have you
ever
thought about that in that context?
Yeah, I think I did when I was younger and I was in a relationship, and now I'm kind of... I mean, I'm 36. I don't know if... I always thought I would want children, and the older I'm getting, I'm not sure. Do you know what I mean? I'm like... I mean, biology is one thing, but just mentally I think, oh, I just don't know if that's something I want to do. But I think if I did, I would have to... And I think I had a real... especially kind of, you know, when I moved away, because I was in Winchester when I was modelling, and when I moved to London and I kind of, you know, my eyes were open to the world a bit more. And I think before I had a bit of a, not a chip on my shoulder, but I think I'm, you know, me and Keely Hazel, who was another very successful Page Three girl, we always joke that we were kind of like the most reluctant Page Three girls, and that we have a bit of a, not a regret, but there are elements of regret. And when I was younger, I used to think, you know, how am I going to deal with, if I do have children, if they get bullied for it? And even my nieces and my nephew, you know, I kind of worry about that. And all I say to them is, you know, if someone says something horrible about Auntie Lou, like, don't worry, it doesn't bother me. You know, don't get in an argument at school because someone says, oh, you know, your auntie got her boobs out for a living. Just be like, yeah. I think in owning it, you have to own it so that people can't belittle you for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so I think true. I would have, yeah, I'd have to, if I ever did have kids, I think I'd have to, yeah, just make them aware and just say, look, you know, people might tease you for that, and it's something that I did when I was younger, and you know, just don't worry, it doesn't hurt my feelings.
Would you want them to do it, Lucy? Would you want
God,
them to
no.
do this, or would you try and stop them? Or would you think, well, you know, as we all do as parents, you think, well, you know, my kid wants to do this. It's sort of like quite toxic to stop a child, unless they're hurting somebody, from doing what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would just hope that I would instill values that if I had a daughter, that, not that I didn't have those values, but I would be disappointed if, I mean the thing is, the industry doesn't really exist anymore, and I get some girls contacting me saying, oh, I really want to get into that, how do I do it? And I say, well, actually, reality TV stars kind of fill that gap now, I think.
They do a bit, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like doing glamorous
Love
shoots
Island.
and being kind of tabloid fodder. So I think, you know, if I was ever to have a daughter, by the time she would be, you know, in her 20s, I think that would kind of hopefully be long gone. I think it's changed. I think there are some really strong, like, all of the body positive models, and I don't judge anyone for, like, a woman looking amazing and making a career out of her body. But I think probably it's probably my own issue that I feel like I kind of wasted my talents a bit. I would hope that if I had a daughter, she would have aspirations past being a model yeah. or a celebrity. But then I guess as long as they're, you know, my mum always says, as long as, if I had kids, as long as I liked them and thought that they were brilliant people, I would have faith in what they wanted to do, you know.
Precisely.
Yeah. Imagine Precisely. If you hated them. Is that how you feel about me?
No. You're like, yeah. How does it always turn around against me?
No, I just wanted to check. It would actually be terrible if you were like, oh, I'm not sure God, I like
Lucy.
You. You know?
Bliss, do you agree with this? So I was talking with my auntie and we were talking about this and saying about those hopes that you have for your children. And we whittled it down to her saying, when you have adult children, if you get on with, if not even get on, because, you know, me and my mum fight like cat and dog. But if you look at them and you go, do you know what? They're good company and they're fun, intelligent, decent people. I don't care what they do, as long as they're not hurting anyone, like, I've done a good job.
I sort of think, yes, I do. Actually, I don't want to sound complacent, but I do feel, I mean, Livy and I argue like cat and dog.
it's just common, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, I don't need to repeat, but I absolutely agree what you just said. I think that you just, I think I've turned out
I'm
two
an intelligent,
good,
lovely
funny,
person.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, you've got two you've got two wonderful children.
Wicked children. Piss takers, you know.
I'm just upset. We haven't done enough with our boobies.
Yes,
I feel
am
like
I, really.
I should have. Like, yeah.
I would have had a career with mine.
Yeah, I know.
Should we bring out? Should the three of us bring out a lingerie line now?
I wouldn't be seen dead, Lucy.
Lucy would be absolutely
not,
smoking.
I would
be
not
so
show
fit,
my
and we'd
boobie
be there,
boobies
like,
ever.
Sort of, like hiding
no
behind
way.
Her, like
hiding
trying to,
behind, trying to look slimmer.
Yeah, trying to look slimmer, like holding a breast.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Lucy, thank you so much for coming
it's
and chatting to
us. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. It's been lovely chatting to you both.
So nice, and we will see each other soon.
And I hope you come over, Lucy. With
oh,
Beth.
I can't wait. I can't wait to come over with lots of wine.
Love to have you. Yeah,
yes, lots
of
wine.
So that's the answer to everything in life, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Not religion, wine.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was really fascinating.
Why so? For you?
Because it's how she was talking about how she felt about everything and
yeah.
how she dealt
like
with it.
Like the page three stuff, the glamour.
The page three stuff. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's fascinating.
She's done loads of acting subsequently. She's got a good career, very good career. But it's just, she's a very intelligent, incisive individual, really. And very honest.
Yeah.
It's kind of brutal honesty with herself, which, well, it's just given me food for thought. It's a lot of thinking time I'm going to have.
Does that mean I get some time off?
Yes, it
from
does.
From talking?
Yes, it does.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant. I might have a lovely birthday.
I knew you'd turn that on me.
No, I just think I'll have a lovely birthday.
You will have a birthday.
Right, should we have some more rosé?
Happy birthday, darling.
Thank you.
To my little girl, who was born 25 years ago.
25
years
ago.
Which would be 1995.
Yes,
exactly. Which would mean
exactly.
that you are 1 year apart from your brother, which is really true.
Very true.
Very true.
Right, Fliss. Ready? We're going to down the whole glass. Three,
right, okay.
two, one, go. Oh, God. Delicious, but I feel a bit sick.
Why did you do that? What was the point?
Did you not? Oh, you didn't do
no,
it?
No, I wouldn't glug my wine.
I just thought it was because we were going out for some shots or something.
Right, let's just say goodbye then.
Okay.
I don't do shots.
God, I'm going to really struggle getting out of here.
All right.
The Mother-Daughter Manual was painfully hosted and created by Felicity Montague and Olivia Nixon, produced by Luke Nixon, original music by George Montague, and this was a Snipper Nixon production.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.